And did it get a lot of pickup? Were you excited? Was it all around the world?
It got so much press. It was picked up by like CNN and lots of big news networks, Forbes. So really, really cool to see that.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to discover a brand new world? In the last 3 decades, we've found over 5,000 planets outside our solar system, called exoplanets. I'm Dr. Jessie Christensen, the lead scientist at the NASA Exoplanet Archive. This is Explore Exoplanets, The Discoverers, a series where I interview the brilliant minds behind the discovery of brand new planets.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Explore Exoplanets, The Discoverers, where I, Dr. Jessie Christensen, the lead scientist at the NASA Exoplanet Archive, interview the wonderful, fabulous people who have discovered planets around other stars. Today, I'm delighted to have with me Dr. Emily Gilbert, who is an Exoplanet Exploration Program postdoctoral fellow at JPL. Emily, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Jessie.
Yes, Emily's a nearby colleague and sadly a Yankees fan. So that's the whole dynamic of our relationship is giving each other crap about our baseball teams.
It's a good back and forth. We had a battle for the bottom of the AL East this season.
Yeah, it wasn't great. So tell me where you physically are right now.
Right now I am currently at JPL. I've got a corner conference room that I snagged here and yeah.
Nice, glad it's in the corner. Nice and quiet, good view. Tell us about where you are in your career. How did you get to this corner office at JPL?
Well, I have a cubicle right outside, so it's not that fancy. But this is the start of my second year of my postdoc. So I graduated back in 2022, started last September, and I've been here at JPL ever since.
Where did you do your PhD?
I did my PhD at the University of Chicago, and I did most of my PhD research with the test team at NASA Goddard.
Ooh, okay. So we're going to talk more about the test team. I don't know whether you started your exoplanet research as an undergrad or as a grad student, but when you first started thinking about exoplanets, did you ever think that you would find your own exoplanet?
Definitely not. I had a bit of an interesting start to my career. I actually started off in undergrad working on a CubeSat, and that was kind of my entrance to astronomy in a very roundabout way.
Oh, what was the CubeSat?
The CubeSat was called Equisat. Its tagline was Equisat, space for the people. And so it was meant to be interactive with people on the ground with a ham radio and a beacon that you could see. And you could track it through the app. And the whole project was meant to be replicable by student groups. So all of our designs were open source.
Wow.
And the full budget for the project was about $6,000. So it was meant to be dirt cheap. Any right. student group could make it.
Right. So for context for listeners, that's about 10,000 times cheaper than the next level up NASA mission that we fly. So that's incredible. Did you fly it? What happened?
Yeah. So my senior year, we put in an application for it to get launched through a NASA program. It was called the CubeSat Launch Initiative. And then it took a few years, but in 2018, it eventually launched to the ISS, deployed off the International Space Station, and it orbited for about 2.5 years before it deorbited.
Ah, that's very, very cool. Was it doing exoplanet science?
It was not doing exoplanet science. It was literally just an outreach mission. And then from there, I actually went to work at Planet Labs, which builds Earth imaging CubeSats. And I was there for a year before I went to grad school.
Okay. And did you come into grad school thinking about exoplanets?
I knew I wanted to do exoplanets, but I wasn't sure exactly what. Still trying to figure that out a bit.
All right. So you came into grad school thinking about exoplanets, but not sure that you would ever discover your own planet. Tell us how it happened.
Yeah, that's kind of a fun question because it's not like a definitive, here it is, you found it, the end.
Ooh.
You know, I feel like, you know, I work here at JPL and we talk about missions and stuff a lot and you see things like the Mars rover landing and it lands and that's the moment and everyone cheers and you're like, hooray, we did it. But I feel like in exoplanets, it's a little more circuitous, a little more ambiguous when you actually discover this planet.
Okay.
So I'm going to talk about the TY700 system of planets. There's actually 4 planets in the system. And back in 2019, we first started seeing signals from the first 3 planets. And so it
came up. So where did you see the signals? What data did you see them in? What were you using to look for it?
Yeah, so they come up in just this big list of automated potential planet signals called TOIs, test objects of interest. And so it came up in the TOI catalog. And it was TOI 700, it had 3 planet signals in it. And what was interesting is that there was some bug in the system and it ended up defaulting all of the stellar parameters to solar. And mm-hmm. so it made it look like a much bigger star than it actually was. Mm-hmm. And so one of my colleagues was looking through it, Josh Schleter, and he was like, wait, this looks like an M dwarf star. These don't look right. And he redid the calculations and realized that it's actually an M dwarf star. The planets are really small. And the third planet, planet D, is in the habitable zone. So that was really, really exciting. So then we started going after it and looking into it more.
Okay, so what work did you have to do next to confirm these signals were real?
Yeah, we got a ton of ground-based data to vet the signal. A couple colleagues of mine, Joey Rodriguez and Andrew Vanderberg, led a Spitzer campaign to confirm planet D. It was mm-hmm. actually one of the last transits that Spitzer observed. It was in January 2020. Right. So really glad we got to sneak that in there.
Right.
Yeah, and then, you know, you have to go through the whole process of writing the paper. And this was TESS's first habitable zone planet, first Earth-sized planet in the habitable zone was the paper title. Mm-hmm. And so everyone was really, really excited. It involved a lot of follow-up. And so the paper was humongous. We actually put out three papers.
Right. Tell us about the emotional journey then of this paper, the highs, the lows. How did you feel?
Yeah, it was great. It was super exciting. We got to present it at the AAAS meeting in Hawaii in January 2020.
Right, which, that's the big meeting of the American Astronomical Society, which is the biggest gathering of astronomers in North America every year.
And this one was particularly well attended because it was in Hawaii in January. Yes. So everyone was very excited to go.
Right. I remember you were buzzing that whole meeting. There was a lot of real excited press about TOI 700.
It was really, really fun.
Did you have the stickers then? Emily's been handing out TOI 700 stickers for years now.
I didn't have the stickers then, but this is what the stickers look like. I made them for, I think it was the first in-person AAAS after COVID, the Pasadena meeting. I made them and brought them around.
Did you ever get to the point with the paper where you just were sick of it and you wanted it to be done?
Oh, I feel like I get to that point with every paper. I don't know about you, but this is a common feeling for me when I'm just like, I can't do this anymore.
Right. I think that's when I know it's ready to submit, when I just can't look at it anymore. And I'm like, oh my God, please be at the journal now. Someone else has to be looking at this.
So we ended up submitting it. We had that paper. So I had the first paper in the series validating planets B, C, and D. Then Joey Rodriguez led the second paper with the Spitzer confirmation of planet D. And Gabrielle Engelmann-Suisa led paper number three, where she was modeling potential climate states for planet D.
Wow. And a lot of work.
Yeah, those all came out all at once. It was actually my first author paper, which was very intimidating.
Hey, welcome to Finding Planets. Have TESS's first habitable zone, rocky planet.
It was great. So then we coordinated posting all three of those papers together. Mm-hmm. So it was my first time posting on Archive, the preprint server where we put our papers.
Welcome to that as well.
Yeah, so that was, as astronomers know, it is often very buggy and takes several tries and can be kind of finicky. And to time three papers together was very intimidating. Right. And we had to time the papers to come out with the press release. So I remember sitting on the floor of a ballroom at the meeting in Hawaii during the ExoPag conference, trying to get these papers posted chronologically.
Oh my gosh. Were you all just sitting there with your fingers over the submit button, like 1, 2, 3, go?
We were on a Zoom call because I think someone was on a plane. It was very complicated. We managed to get them all in order, but I was very, very intimidated. They ended up coming out, I think, like 2 hours after the press conference. The timing was great.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And did it get a lot of pickup? Were you excited? Was it all around the world?
It got so much press. It was picked up by like CNN and lots of big news networks, Forbes. So really, really cool to see that. One thing that I mentioned to you earlier that was really fun to watch was we got to see the Wikipedia pages being constructed live. And so you could see like TOI 700, and then they start filling in like properties about the star, and they make a page for planet D, and you can just see.
Right. And this was while the press conference was happening.
Yeah. And so we're just standing in the convention center, like looking at this Wikipedia page and feeling overwhelmed and
just
so
like
excited.
Refreshing and seeing more and more text appear.
Yep. It was
great. That's amazing. So far you've talked about three planets in TOI 700. How many planets have you discovered in total?
Four. So there's one more in the system.
Tell us about that one.
Okay. So back in October 2021, we found hints of another signal of another planet in the system. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to write my thesis, applying for jobs, and it was the day before I turned 30 when Andrew Vanderberg sent me a note on Slack, and he posted what we call the TCE, the threshold crossing event, signal of this potential new planet. And my reaction was, shh, not now, TOI 700, because I was very stressed.
Right. I'm busy.
Not a good time. And what was fun about this planet is that it was also in the habitable zone, but killed me a little bit inside because it was actually orbiting interior to planet D. And so we order the planets in order of discovery. So this is now planet E. So the system goes B, C, E, D, which...
Right. I know. It makes the OCD inside me very sad. But actually, for people who are listening, this doesn't happen irregularly that planets are discovered out of order. So TOI 700 is not the only one that's labeled like this.
That's true.
Okay, so that's four planets in TOI 700. I know it's like asking a parent to choose amongst their children, but what's your favorite real planet that's been found?
Ooh, I think I might have to go TOI 700D.
Okay.
We've got the most papers written about that, the most we've studied, and it was like the most exciting discovery at the time. You just heard about all of the hype that we had announcing this planet at the conference. It was great.
All right. Okay. So you were able to choose among the four. Well done. So that's your favorite
They're
real planet.
They're all good planets.
They're all good planets. What's your favorite fictional planet?
I'm excited about this. So I know some fans might say that this is not a separate planet, but for the purposes of this conversation, we're saying Middle Earth is its own planet. And I've got some logic to back that up, why I think it might actually be another planet and not just Earth.
Okay, so thank you. Please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and come back to find out more about Emily's favorite fictional planet, Middle Earth, and whether we have found a real-world counterpart. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.